I would like to start tonight with a verse of a song, if you'll sing it with me. When all around in this cold, dark land, nothing encourages me to stand, Jesus says, holding me by the hand, come closer, child, to me. Closer, my child, to me. Closer, my child, to me. Closer, my child, to me. Come closer, come closer, closer, my child, to me. I'm thankful for the opportunity we have for meetings like this. We heard about it this morning, how thankful we ought to be for the opportunities that we have to meet together at times like this. Because you know, really, when the Lord deals with us, it is a wonderful opportunity. He's not willing that any would perish. His desire is that every one of us would make heaven our home. Tonight, I would like for us to take a look at mercy. God's mercy that is extended to me compared to my mercy that is extended to others. Thought of a word, benchmark. The definition was a standard, a point of reference against which other things may be compared. The Word of God is our benchmark. There are a lot of topics today in our world where people are deciding what is the benchmark, and it's not the Word of God. It's very important for me to measure my life by the Word of God. I would like to start with a verse. As we look at mercy tonight, the mercy that I need to have, I'd like to start with a verse in Micah 6 and 6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? There are people that are willing to give a lot to God. It made me think as I read this verse of Naaman the leper. When he came with a desire to be healed, he brought a load of gifts with him that he was going to bestow. He was going to give these things in exchange for health again. And when he found out that it was going to take humility, humbling himself, says he turned away in a rage. But you know what? It was his servants that showed him how the plan to do. It says, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst not thou have done it? How much rather when he saith, wash and be clean. And I compare it to what we're reading tonight. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Do I have a lot of things I would give to the Lord, big things? Here's what he's looking for. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? See, this is my part. What doth he require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God? You know what? I love mercy. I love it when it comes to me. I believe this is talking about more than that. I love it when it's coming to me, and I love to be able to give it. I'll tell you, sometimes a message is given not so much maybe for those in the pew, but it's given for all of us to be able to go to the benchmark of God's mercy that's been extended to me and compare it to the mercy that I should show to others. There's a verse that is the benchmark for us. It's Luke 6 and 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is merciful. A real small verse, but I'm going to spend a lifetime measuring to that verse. Because when the Lord met with Abraham in the 18th chapter of Genesis, and he told him, I'm going down to check on Sodom and Gomorrah. There's been some wickedness coming up before me, and I want to see if it's as bad as what I have has been coming up before me. And Abraham talked to the Lord. He said, Lord, if there would be 50 righteous people, would you spare the city? This is a picture of God's mercy to mankind. He was planning on, if I see the wickedness, this city will be destroyed. And Abraham was able to talk to him and say, Lord, if you found 50. Then I believe Abraham tried to count it up in himself, and he said, I don't know if there'd be that many myself. And you remember the story. He went down to 40, to 30, to 20, to 10. Lord, if there would be 10 righteous people, would you spare the city? I'm talking about a benchmark tonight for mercy extended. God Himself is the benchmark for us. The mercy that He showed, He wanted to show to Sodom and Gomorrah. If I could have found 10 righteous people, I would have spared the city. America today is in need of God's mercy. And I try to picture where we must be tonight as He comes down and looks at the wickedness that there is in our land. Is He finding enough righteous people to spare the city? And am I doing like Abraham and asking Him, Lord, have mercy? Because as I look for myself at the benchmark of mercy, I find that I have come very short of the mercy that God extends. Because I find that even as I look at the topics that we're faced with in our country today, something rises up within me that, Lord, it just might be time for you to take care of some business around here in this world that we're living in. James and John, I believe they felt something similar to that. When Jesus went by the village of the Samaritans and they didn't receive Him, you know, really for whatever reason it was they didn't receive Him, it stirred something inside of James and John. And they said, wilt thou command that we call down fire out of heaven and destroy them? That's my feeling about it. Not a whole lot of mercy there. And He told them, you don't know what spirit you're of. Son of Man didn't come to destroy. He came to save. I am so thankful for His mercy to America today. And I find that I come far short of that. Have I been like Abraham? Lord, I want to be one of the righteous people. Lord, I would like for you to spare America. I look at the verse. It tells about mercy, I believe. Deuteronomy. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. That is the mercy that God extends. And then I have to try to compare myself to the benchmark of it. And many times I find I come very short. There's a verse of a song that we sing sometime. Oh, to be His hand extended, reaching out to the oppressed. Let me touch Him. Let me touch Jesus, so that others may know and be blessed, that I would show mercy. Show to others the mercy that God has shown to me. I looked at the definition of mercy. The mildness, the tenderness of heart, which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. It causes an injured person to forbear punishment or inflict less than the law of justice will warrant. And then I go back to the benchmark, and I'd like to look at another verse. It's in Lamentations 3 and 21. I recall to my mind, and therefore have I hope, 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. You know what? It's of the Lord's mercies that all of us have not been consumed. because His compassions fail not. They have not failed in my lifetime for me. So the Lord's mercies were not consumed because His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. I think of how serious it is of what I use to measure who I am. What am I measuring against? It says, they that measure themselves among themselves by themselves, compare themselves among themselves, it's not wise. It's not wise for me on this topic to say, you know what, I don't have much mercy on people, but I do have more than this other one over here. What I need to do is go back to examples that have been shown to me, the benchmark that has been laid out for me, first of all, in God's Word, and then by examples in the Word of God. It also says that mercy induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries. And then we find examples for me to follow. The first one is Jesus as He hung on the cross. To be able to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know what? That was mercy extended at a time when He could have called 12 legions of angels to deliver Him. He could have brought this whole thing into judgment at that time. Instead, His prayer was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. A benchmark for me to measure the mercy that I extend to others. Another one was Stephen. As he was being stoned, you know, he could have had so many things to say. He could have told them, I tell you what, your day's coming. You will pay for this. What did he say? Don't lay this sin to their charge. You know, I look at that and I say, I believe he was saying, Lord, if this is the only thing that would keep them out of heaven, I'd love to see them there. Just erase this one. Take this one off of it. Folks, that's saying a whole lot. Because every one of us have been wronged at one time or another. And what the devil would love for us to do, for me to do, is lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled from a wrong that was done to me. But instead, if I will measure myself against the benchmark of the Word of God and the examples that have been given in it, I will see that I can go to a higher level in the mercy that's extended. There was another example, and it was Joseph. When his brothers stood before him and he told them who he was, they were in his hands. Folks, he could have built up over 13 years. He could have built up, I'm going to get even one day. And now this is his opportunity. Folks, it wasn't just that day that he decided to have mercy. There was something that God was processing in him for 13 years that was leading him to this very place, causing him to come into a place where he was wronged time and time again, and given him an opportunity which way. We heard about choices tonight. We're making choices on this line. Every one of us are, as we're wronged. You know, Joseph had to come to a place when Potiphar's wife lied about him, and now he's sitting in prison for his first day. Folks, he had a mind that was working just like ours does. He was processing information and what he was going to do with it. And instead, he went through that one in the right place. Served his time in prison. You know, for a young man to lose 13 years of his life, he's going to have a contact with God to be able to meet his brothers at the end of it and extend this kind of mercy. For him to tell them, don't be grieved with yourself. He lost 13 years of his life. And he says to them, don't be grieved with yourself. It really wasn't even you. It was God that sent me through these things. Folks, I want to tell you, there will be such victory coming to my life and into your life when I can extend this kind of mercy. He said, it wasn't you. It was God that sent me here. And, you know, it would have been something if God would have told him at the beginning when he's riding to Egypt to be sold as a slave. And God told him, look, hang on 13 years and you're going to be the leader over there. He never knew it. But instead, he committed himself into the hands of God to do with him what he wanted. If he wanted to leave him in prison all of his life, what do we find when he went to prison? Did he have a pity party? No, somehow he made such a good worker out of himself that they gave him the keys to the place. You can now be a help around here. And you know what? He did very well at it. For us today, this is not something that is, I can do this on my own. I just need to make a decision that I will be more merciful. It said mercy is a distinguishing attribute of the Supreme Being. We cannot do this on our own. I will come up short every time when I try it on my own. But instead, I read in 2 Peter 1 and 4, there are some exceeding great and precious promises, whereby we can be partakers of the divine nature. We can tap into the nature of this benchmark that I have before me, of Jesus able to say, as the nails were driven in his hands, and mean it from his heart, Father, forgive them. They really don't know what they're doing. For Stephen to be able to say, as the stones are hitting him, nothing came from him, the Lord, lay it on them. Pay them back. Instead, don't lay this sin to their charge. What I get from this tonight is, you know, there can be times in the past where I failed to show mercy. And the devil would like to tell us, you're really messed up. You know what we can do? Jesus says, closer, my child, to me. That's what his desire is for this whole meeting. For all of the meetings we'll go to this summer. It's a desire to draw me closer to him. When I find those places in my life where I have come up short, I can do like Paul did. Forgetting those things are in the past. Looking forward to those things that are out ahead. Those times of failures in the past, I will put them in the past, except to let them be a reminder to me that I don't ever want to go back there again. And then he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3 and 14. I have an opportunity today to press toward the mark. Press toward that mark that God has set, the benchmark that he has set for mercy that can be shown to others. I want to have that in my life. Be ye therefore merciful, just like your Father is merciful. So in the places that I come short of that I fall low of that, instead of just saying, that's who I am, is say, Lord, I would like to move up higher. I would like for my life to show the same mercy that you show to others. I look at places in the Word of God. One of them is in Psalms. There are so many verses that tell us about His mercy. One of them is in Psalms. And this one, it's like it just wanted to repeat it over and over for us. Psalms 136 and 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. And you know what? I am so glad that His mercy endures forever for me. That tomorrow He's willing to work in my life again, because He's not willing that I would perish. And this chapter, every verse ends with, 26 verses ends with, for His mercy endureth forever. His mercy will be extended forever. All the way out, just as long as mercy is needed, mercy is available. Lord, help me to move up to that benchmark. Psalms 23 also tells us about His mercy. At the end of that, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want His mercy to follow me throughout my life. I need it. And then may I extend that mercy to others around me. And I have examples, a couple that I'd like to share with you tonight, that tell me the direction I do not want to go with mercy. As I read about the story of Jonah, God sent him on a mission very short message that he was to give to Nineveh. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. He refused to take that message, and he ended up in the belly of a whale. He surely needed mercy then from God, and he begged for that mercy. Please, I mean, he was, I'm going to pay my vows to the Lord, just get me out of here. Had a great prayer, desiring mercy. And then he went and gave the message that God said to give. You know what, there is a message to the world around us today that there's judgment coming for sins that are committed. There's also mercy. He went to Nineveh. He gave that little message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. But as I think about this message tonight about mercy, it was his opportunity to tell them about mercy. He could have told it from experience if he'd have wanted to. He could have told them, folks, 40 days and it will happen. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you where I just came from. You won't even believe it unless you smell it. But I have been in the belly of a whale and I begged for mercy. Would you please, God, have mercy on me? And I could have still been there today, except he had mercy on me. So, folks, let me tell you something. He could have added to the... It didn't tell that God said, I'll strike you down if you say any more than those 8 words. No, he just had a message that he had to give to them. He gave that message. But then he said he went out and he watched to see it destroyed. You know, it said that the people themselves feared from that message. And they said, let's humble ourselves. Let's fast. Nothing's going to eat or drink for 3 days. We're going to fast. And that message went to the king. You know why Jonah was afraid to go to Nineveh? That was one wicked city. They could sure torture a person before they killed him. But his message was to go give this to the people of Nineveh. He could have said, folks, pray to God. You've got 40 days to beg him. You've got 40 days to turn from your wicked ways. You know, that message went to the king of Nineveh. And the king of Nineveh took off his robes and he fasted right along with the rest of them. And God had mercy. What a story. You would think that Jonah would have been jumping up and down praising God. It says there were 120,000 people. That would have been some kind of camp meeting that Jonah could have just preached a little more of his message and been able to have been a partaker of that camp meeting. God forgave Nineveh, erased it, and Jonah was mad. To the point that he is mad at God. I knew he was going to be this kind of a God. How do you know? Because I was in the belly of the whale just a few days ago and you showed mercy. I know that you're a merciful God. I know that you're slow to anger. I knew you'd show mercy. Didn't want to come here. What an example for me to not follow. May I be able, you know, and the only way not to follow it is that I always measure myself by the benchmark of the mercy that God has shown to me. Because if I ever forget the mercy that was shown to me, I'll be doing to others just what Jonah did to those folks. I've got a message to cut you down, but I have no message to tell you about how the mercy of the Lord was shown to me recently. A picture of God's mercy, and how do I measure to it? There was another example, the prodigal son. When he went away from his father's house, spent everything he had in riotous living, and then he came to himself. You know, he made a decision. I'm willing to be a servant in my father's house. I'm willing to go back if he would just let me be the lowest in the house. And he came to himself and he turned around and he started home. And his father saw him. You know, it doesn't ever say that his father sent him money while he was gone. I just feel for my boy. He's probably having a hard time. No, but what he did was he watched for his return. He had to have watched for his return. He said when he saw him a long way off, you know, he didn't prepare a message to tell his son, I can tell from a long ways off you've had a hard time. You must have spent everything you have because look at your clothes and you stink. But instead, it said he had compassion. And he ran up and he hugged him. He kissed him. You know what a difference that would make to somebody that comes to themselves and says, I'll return to Father's house. I'm willing to take the lowest. And they come back and they find compassion and love. But you know what? The son had to face some things when he got back. He had to face the oldest son and his feelings. Do you think that he did not notice when his father went out and his brother has not come inside? And his father is having to talk to the oldest son when the oldest son said, I've been with you all this time and you didn't give me a calf. You didn't give me a kid to make merry with my friends. But this thy son that has gone out and spent his living, riotous living, spent what you gave him, now you're celebrating his return. I've had to think about that for myself. Folks, you know, there have been those that have gone away. How hard would I make it for them to return? Would they be able to see compassion? Would they be able to see mercy extended? And the reason it is so easy for that mercy to be extended is because His mercy has just been extended to me. His mercy endureth forever. It has endured for me, and my prayer is that it endures for everyone. I'd like to take a look at a verse in Exodus, the 25th chapter. God has given instruction for the tabernacle to be built. And in 25 and 16, He says, put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee, and thou shalt make a mercy seat, in the 17th verse, of pure gold. And it goes on down and it says what He's going to do with it. 21st verse of the 25th chapter. Thou shalt put the mercy seat up upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. So I think about what was inside that ark. It was the Ten Commandments. Those things that you are to do and those things that you are not to do. Some of those follow them that death will come to you should you not follow these instructions. But then He says, put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And there, 22nd verse, there will I meet with thee, I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. It's true that God gives laws for us to follow. It's also true that God has mercy on us in dealing with us to follow those laws. I remember a song that Brother Harlan Sorrell has sung in the past. It said, justice called and mercy answered. Folks, you know what? I am so glad that that happened in my life. It was time for justice, and mercy was what answered. And I would like for that to be what I extend, the hope that I extend to others. I think about the thundering and the lightning when the law was given. God telling Moses, hey, you better make those people step back because if they touch this mountain, they'll die. The seriousness of the law that He gave and yet the mercy that was extended. Here is a picture of mercy to us today. In 1 John, two and one. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. This is the law of God, that we not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Should it happen God has power for us that we would be able to live without sin. Should it happen, we have an advocate. Mercy can be extended to us if we ask for forgiveness. There is a verse in Psalms 86. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy to all them that call upon thee. God's mercy being extended to others. You remember when David came back to God with his prayer? I believe David somehow did not realize the seriousness of what he had done. He was caught up in it. Didn't even understand the story that was coming to him by Nathan the prophet. What he saw right then was, this person that took this other poor man's lamb, he will pay for it with his life. Justice is going to be done. And then Nathan said, David, you're the man. And you know, when David got those words, he could have had Nathan killed. He was the king. But something changed in David's heart, and he repented. David truly repented. To the point that he's asking this in Psalms 51, starts right out, have mercy on me, O God, 51:1. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Begging the Lord for mercy. You ever needed mercy to be extended to you by others around you? And I'm talking just in everyday living. You ever had your dog to get in the flower bed and you give him a hollering at and tell him, come here? How does that dog come to you? Now, I know some dogs, they don't care. They just come hopping to you, wagging their tail. But that's not the way the story ought to go. The dog should get down and crouch. You'll see some that, I mean, they're so repentant, they know it's coming, that they will lay on their belly and just drag themselves along to come to you. I have had some examples in my life. Years ago, I lived in Tulsa, and I was driving down the highway too close to the car in front of me and not paying attention when he slammed on his brakes, and I tried to stop. And my tires were screeching enough that I thought maybe I didn't hit him. But the way his door opened up and he came out, I said, he felt the bump. And he was the kind of person that did not like to be bumped. And he came out, and, you know, we had never met before. He didn't know my name. But he had several that he was just mad, and he was unloading names. And he looked at me and he said, what are you doing? Now, what am I going to reply? Oh, I'm just going around bumping folks today. No. I did like that dog did. I got down low. I'm in need of mercy. I'm the one that bumped you. It's yes, sir. Yes, sir. Whatever. No, sir. I'm sorry. And he just jumps in his car, squalled his tires, and he's gone. And I'm standing in the street, still crouched. You know, I'm still sorry I bumped into his car. You know, so often, there's a verse that says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Grievous words are going to just stir up some anger. You know, we're living in a time where there's road rage. People are so stressed today, it takes almost nothing to push them over the edge and you be the victim. Folks, this is a good time for me to get down low. You ever get pulled over by a police officer? Now, did you tell him, hey, hurry up with your stuff because I got to get going? It is just, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm so sorry I did that, sir. All the way through. And if he says, you slow down, yes, sir, I will slow down. It is that attitude that is followed all the way through. I had one year in Guthrie. I was burning a brush pile, and it was in the fall, and that was on a Saturday, and everything went well. I had no problem from it. Sunday morning, I went to service. Everything was still fine, but while I was in service, a wind blew up, And I had some coals in those ashes that I didn't know about. And when I came home from church, I had fire trucks all over the place, and I had burned a half mile of my neighbor's pasture. And I need to go visit them. You know, how do you approach somebody like that? Like that dog, get down low. It wouldn't do for me to tell him, I tell you, sir, this is really going to come in green next year. It is going to look better than everybody else's pasture. It won't do to talk to somebody that way. So instead, it was approach him just as low as you can go. Sir, I am sorry. What can I do to make this thing right? See, this thing comes down to everyday living for us. And when I have measured myself to the benchmark of God's mercy, then, and I realize also the mercy that I would like to have extended to me when I have burned that man's pasture, when I have bumped his car. You know, it's not good for me tomorrow that I stop quick and somebody bumps into me and I jump out and have a problem with him. You know, what I ought to do is realize, hey, mercy was extended to me. Let me also extend it to others. That's just in our everyday living. I realize that. Folks, I want to tell you, it comes down much closer than that. It comes down to spiritual living. It's for me to extend mercy to others because mercy has been extended to me. My opportunity for salvation today is because the Lord has had mercy on me. There's another verse. It's one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What if mercy were proportional? Remember the verse that says, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. What if it worked that mercy was always extended to me, proportional to the mercy that I extended to others? How much mercy would be extended to me? I'd like to look at one more story. This is in Matthew, in the 18th chapter. This is a reminder of me. I can go through and I can read this story, and it's just another good story. Or I can take it into my life and say, Lord, help me. Starts in the 23rd verse. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had in payment to be made. Have you ever stopped right here in this story and said, what if this happened to me and my family? What would be my attitude? Not able to pay this debt, so here goes my child, here goes my wife, we're all to be sold and payment to be made. How must that servant have felt? The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. There was no way that he would ever be able to pay it, but his attitude, his thought was, he came in low. Lord, have mercy, and I will try. I'll work at paying it back. It says, the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave the debt. You know, I have been forgiven of a debt that I would have not have been able to pay on my own. None of us would have. But you know what? Life doesn't end on the day that I'm forgiven of the debt. I continue living, and I continue living among others. And I look at the very next verse. I don't know how much time extended went between the 27th and the 28th. As I read it, I almost think of it as being he was on his way home, so happy, so glad to have been released. And now I'll get to see my family at home. They will not be sold. I am so happy for it. That same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, he took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. You know, folks, this is not just a story for me to read, but it's a benchmark for me to check my life by. someone that came far short of the mercy that should be extended to others, when I have just been shown mercy. Took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. His fellow servant, it almost looks like when his fellow servant fell at his feet and said almost the identical same things that he had just said, it looks like surely then it would have rang with him, oh, I just said those words myself, I'll forgive it. His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. He would not. There be no mercy extended here. What was he thinking? Did he think that this will never get back to the one that just showed me mercy? He wasn't thinking. When his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. Came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth with him. You know, no doubt this servant would have begged for mercy again. Please, forgive it again, and I will go turn that servant back loose. I want to change it. I don't know what I was thinking. It's too late. You know, folks, we all have a window of opportunity to be able to take care of business. There is a time that window is open for us to extend mercy to others. There is a time when it's too late. And then it comes down to where we're living, the 35th verse. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. You know, forgiveness is extending mercy. We at least felt like a wrong had been done to us, and we release it. You remember when Peter asked, how many times should I do it? You know, really what he was asking is, how many times should I extend mercy to someone for wrongs that they have done? How many times should I forgive? Seven times? No, till seven times 70. Just continue to forgive. Continue to show mercy. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if ye from your hearts forgive not. If you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive our trespasses. And folks, I am in need of mercy from the Lord. He has been merciful to me in my life. I don't want to be like that servant that I soon forget the mercy that was extended to me. But if I will always look at this benchmark, just even in my own life, of mercy that was extended to me, measure myself by it and beg the Lord, please help me to extend this mercy to others. What does the Lord require of thee? Do justly. Love mercy. Love mercy when it's extended to me, and love the opportunities that I have to extend it to others. I desire your prayers.